67. So if everyone would stand with me for our call to worship. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. You may be seated. So we're continuing on our prayer journey this morning. We're on week five of our prayer journeys and starting these conversations, I wouldn't have learned these things. And so it's been really exciting. I have really felt God moving. This week, I had the privilege of meeting with some of my high school friends. We were praying for something really intentionally. And we met together and we started to pray. And I felt God moving in such a tangible way. And it was really just an awesome experience to see what God is doing in the lives of each of these women that I grew up with. And the way that I'm seeing him move that I haven't seen in a long time. And that is really exciting. And so I am also seeing people come to Jesus, right? And I am seeing them come to Jesus radically. Like, it is flipping their world upside down. And that is exciting to see. And I truly believe it's as a result of our intentional prayers, as our calling out to Jesus and asking him to move. And it's happening organically, right? It's not something that I'm saying, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to have this conversation and I'm going to do this thing. No, it's something that's happening organically in life. And that happens when we begin to speak to God in this way and we allow him to move in our life in this way. And, you know, it's happening through people loving their neighbor. Yesterday on our Facebook page, I shared something about loving your neighbor and loving your unlovable neighbor, right? And so we are loving our neighbors. I'm seeing other people love their neighbor. And as a result of that intentional love and intentional prayer, people are coming to Jesus. And that is so exciting. Disciples are making disciples that are making disciples. And that's what we want to see. And that's what we're praying for. And I am so excited, and I hope you are, by that. And I can't wait to see what God continues to do. Well, more than a couple of years ago now, I began to pursue my Master's of Divinity. And my Master's of Divinity is in missional leadership. So it was all about the mission of the church and the mission of Jesus. And so as I began to pursue my Master's of Divinity, I started to encounter some really challenging things, some really challenging topics. And they were challenging the way I had always been taught. And so, you know, when you're growing up in church and you go to Sunday school, and maybe not everyone here has grown up in church, but I have. My dad became a pastor when I was just a little girl, and both my grandfathers are pastors, so I just really couldn't get away from it, right? And so I grew up in the church, and I had some amazing teachers. We went to a little church in Martins Ferry on the Ohio River, and when we went there, I was 7 years old, and there were only 7 little old ladies. That was all that were there. And me and my brother and my parents. And they had Sunday school with us, even though we were, you know, there was only 2 of us. And so they taught us things, and they taught me wonderful things about Scripture. And so as I began to encounter some of these topics, I was challenged because I thought, that's not what Miss Violet taught me. You know, that isn't what Miss Violet taught me. And that doesn't mean that what Miss Violet taught me was wrong, right? She's a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. But I started to see some things in Scripture, and I'm thinking, that challenges what I've been taught. And so I kind of came at this crossroads, and maybe some of you have been there as well. You begin to read things, and you begin to discover things, and you're like, that challenges what I've been taught. And I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to do what God wants me to do. But gosh, this person who taught me that, they love God. And by saying this, I'm saying they're wrong, right? It's hard to say, you know, maybe it was your grandma, and you're like, I don't want to say my grandma was wrong. But God begins to reveal new truth to you. And I heard Francis Chan, he had we're reading his book. This isn't from his book. But he had, I think it was a sermon that he had shared, and I remember this quote. He said, you know, as you begin to read the Word, as you begin to dive into Scripture, God is going to reveal new truth to you. And you have a responsibility as a believer to either accept that new truth and live in it, or do things the way that you have always done them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, we cannot be so arrogant as to think that we know better than the Word of God and the words of God. And we have to accept that challenge, as hard as it may be, and we have to walk into it and we have to live in it. And so as I was going through these things in my master's program, I was like, oh God, this is challenging, but I want to do what it is that you want me to do, right? And so I began to look around and I began to look at the church, and I got to tell you, I started to become a little bit heartbroken, and I started to become a little bit disenchanted with the establishment, because I saw these people that I loved and that I respected, that they were seeing the same truth that I was. They were reading the same things that I was, and their heart wasn't being gripped in the same way. And they were choosing to remain complacent and to stay in that place. And you know what? I'm not saying that those are bad people, right? They're good people. They're people of God who love the Lord. But they weren't ready to move past their traditions and step into what God had for them, because it was really scary. It was really scary. But, church, God wants us to do that. He wants us to, it's okay to be a little bit scared, right? It's okay to be a little bit nervous about moving past our traditions and stepping into something new, if it's what God is asking you to do. And if you can line that up with the Scripture, right? And guess what? We might have to change our mind. That can be hard sometimes, to change your mind and to change the way that we do things. But we are called to do it. God asks us to do it. And you know what? The old has gone and the new has come. God says that to us, right? God wants us to be a new creation. And so we are talking about renewal this morning. God, with this prayer challenge that we're in, is because the church has become complacent, right? The church has become a place, forgive us, God, where we have come and we have sat here and we have heard the words. And we thought, I'm encouraged, I'm ready to go home. And we've left it at that. And maybe some of us, we haven't done what it is that God has truly asked us to do. And I do not believe that we have done this intentionally. And I do not believe that we have done this, because we don't want to be obedient to the Lord. Because I know these good people in the church, they want to do what God is asking of them. But you know what? Sometimes I think we've lacked the tools to do it, or the direction to do it, and we just don't know what to do. So when we don't know what to do, oftentimes we kind of sit and, I don't know what to do, right? I don't know what to do, so I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to keep coming here because I'm supposed to. I'm going to keep doing what it is that I think God wants me to do, because that's what I'm supposed to do. But I don't really know how to move from sitting here and knowing that God wants me to do more and actually putting the boots on and doing it, right? And so God is calling us to renewal. He's calling the church to renewal. He wants to refine us, and he wants to restore us to his church, to his bride, to look like him. And so our scripture this morning is coming from Isaiah 40, and we're going to focus on verses 29 to 31. But I want to read 40:28 first. And it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And the writer here is saying, don't you know? Don't you know that God is forever, right? He has always been. God has always been. We talked about that last week, right? And he always will be. He is unstoppable, right? We talked about this. He makes the impossible possible, and he is everlasting. He was here before the earth was created. And then the writer goes on to point out that God is the creator of the earth and everything in it. Not only that, but his creation goes even further than that, right? He has been here forever. He will be here for eternity, and he made everything. Even after all of this, you know, that's enough, right? God has been here forever. He's created everything. That's enough, right? But it goes on further, and the writer points out that God is strong. He is strong. Nothing can make him weak. Nothing can make him tired. And finally, his understanding is unsearchable. As a person, that is hard to wrap your head around. If you've ever sat down and thought about the immensity of that, just try to think about forever. That'll blow your mind. If you sit there and really start to think about this God, this that's been forever, right? And not only has he been forever, but he was here before any of this was here. And not only was he here before any of this was here, but he made it out of nothing. Out of absolutely nothing. And you know what? As people, we can't begin to even understand that because we've never seen nothing. We've never seen nothing. There's always been something since we've been here, right? And so we can't imagine forever, and we can't even imagine nothing because we've never seen nothing. And that is, his understanding of that is unsearchable. We can never wrap our heads about around it. And as human beings, not only that, we get tired. We get weary, right? We become weak. We are not everlasting in our earthly body. We require rest. So because of all of those things in our humanity, we cannot wrap our heads around the fact that God doesn't get tired or weak, and we have never lived forever, so it's difficult to imagine what that might look like. We can't understand those things, right? But God does. So that kind of leads us to where we are this morning. We're in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the everlasting God that chose to create us. God, we ask this morning that you would be here. We already feel you. God, we would ask that this morning as the words are spoken, that they would be your words and not mine. So you've heard me use these words a couple of times. We're going to use them this morning. And the first word we're going to use is the Imago Dei, right? We are all the Imago Dei. You can't help it. You just are. You are the image of God. You are made in the image of God, whether you like it or not. Every single person ever born that ever will be born will be made in the image of God, whether they like it or not. And so we have been created in the very image of God. And from the moment that we were born, we began a journey, right? We begin a journey of being pursued by the Holy Spirit. From the moment that you took your first breath as a little baby, the prevenient grace of God, the grace that goes before, started pursuing you. And you were on this journey to come into relationship with Jesus. And so, as the Imago Dei, you have the fingerprints of God. You have the very DNA of God himself in you. And you are being pursued by the prevenient grace of the Holy Spirit, because the prevenient grace, the Holy Spirit, desperately wants you to become the imitatio Christi, right? Wants you to be an imitator of Christ. That is your purpose in life, right? Is to be an imitator of Christ. And if you're an imitator of Christ, because of that, the outflow of your life is going to be what? That you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. If you are like Jesus, if you are an imitator of Christ, it's just going to happen. It won't be controlled by you. It will just be the outflow of what's in your life. And so, I don't know about you, but as an imitator of Christ and coming to know Jesus, I'm not the same person that I was before. You can't be. If you are starting to look like Jesus and act like Jesus, you can't look or act like yourself, right? Because you are so totally consumed by him that you are imitating Jesus. And so verse 29 says, he gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Without Jesus, I am weak and powerless. What did we say last week? I can't do anything without Jesus. And if I can, it's not worth a whole lot, right? And so without Jesus, I'm weak and powerless. I can't do anything. In verse 28, backing up, we read that God does not grow faint or weary, right? And so this is where the imitatio Christi comes into play. If God doesn't grow faint or weary, But I do, and you do. As we are made in his image, and we begin to imitate him when we come to know Jesus, we will not be faint and we will not be powerless, because our strength and our power will come from the outflow of the Holy Spirit living within us. Now that's the important part. We can't think, well, I am my own strength, will not be faint or weary. I will be strong and powerful. No, that's not true, right? We are only able to not grow faint and to not grow weary. We are only able to be powerful because of Jesus, because of the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And verse 30 goes on to say that even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. Well, I don't know about you, but I spent some time with my nephews yesterday, and I a little bit beg to differ with this, because I did not see them grow faint or weary, and I did not see them fall exhausted, right? But it says that even the youths will not grow faint and weary, and they will not become exhausted. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, right? We cannot do what it is that the church is called to do if we do not have Jesus. It doesn't matter what degree you hold. You can go to all of the theology classes you want. You can read the Bible all you want. You can do the work of the Lord all you want. But if Jesus isn't who is fueling that, it's not going to work out. You're not going to be able to withstand it, right? If you don't have Jesus, it isn't going to work. You can plan all the programs you want. You can have the best music, right? You can have the most interesting speaker. But if you are not living in obedience to the outflow of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are just providing entertainment. And we do not have a whole lot of time for that, right? We do not have time to provide entertainment, because there is such an urgency in sharing the story of Jesus. Because guess what? Jesus is coming back. We have an urgent call to share his story so that people will come to know him. And we cannot, as the church, waste our time on campaigns to fill the seats if there's no difference being made in the lives of the people sitting in them. We have to be so obedient to this call to fulfill the mission to spread the story of Jesus. And how do we do that? We can only do that through a fully surrendered life. When we fully surrender our life to Jesus, that is when we're going to begin to see amazing things happen. We will see the church begin to grow in the way that it did in the New Testament, right? We will begin to see disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And the story of Jesus, it'll spread like wildfire. And when that happens, when you fully sell yourself out to Jesus, when you fully surrender, you're going to be a busy person, right? You're going to have a lot of things to do, because there are going to be a lot of people in your life that you're doing them with, and you're going to be involved in some amazing things. And when that begins to happen, that's when we talked about protection a couple of weeks ago. We're going to need protection, because there are going to be people that start talking in your ear. And those people are going to say, oh, how are you doing all that? Well, you're doing a lot. You're really spending a lot of time with people. Don't you need a break from that? Are you nervous that you might get burnt out, that you might get tired? And as I begin to think about this, I remember, it's been years ago, my mom, she went and she heard a pastor preach. And if any of you have met my mom doesn't get tired, right? She doesn't stop. She's busy. She's got a lot of things going. And people say, are you stressed? No, I'm not stressed. You know, I'm not stressed. And she says that because of this. This pastor was sharing about burnout, right? And he said, you know, people often ask me why I'm not burnout. And he said, you want to know why I'm not burnout? Because it's not my fire. It's not my fire. And so when we are busy, when we are out doing all of these things from the outflow of the Holy Spirit, and when he is the one empowering us, guess what? We will not grow weary. We will not grow faint, because it's not our fire. It's not our fire fueling us and calling us to do these things. We are not going to fall exhausted, because it's not our fire. And it isn't us doing the work. We are imitating Christ. And God is working through us. And it's his fire. And his fire will not, cannot, it's not going to go out, right? It is not going to go out, because what do we know? That God does not grow faint or weary. And he is all powerful. So then the verse goes on to say, those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. Well, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? I started thinking about this. What does it mean to wait on the Lord in this context, in this passage? Well, you know what? To wait on the Lord means that we know he is faithful, right? We know that God is faithful to keep his promises. And if you're a believer here this morning, we know that because we've known that to be true. We've seen it. We know that God is faithful to keep his promises. Now, does God always answer our prayers and keep his promises in the way that we think that he will or that he should? No, he doesn't always. Why? Because he's God and we're not, right? And he knows what's best. And so sometimes to wait on the Lord is be faithful to know that he will answer and he will do what it is that we've asked, but it will be in the way that he knows his best, right? And it will be in his timing. And so we wait on the Lord, and we know that God is constant. We can trust that he has us, that he is holding us and walking with us. So let's back up again to verse 28. And it says, his understanding is unsearchable. We, as much as we might think it, can never know all that God knows. We can never know all that God knows because we only know what's here right now, what's happening in our life. God knows what will happen in the future, right? God knows what has happened in the past, and he knows what is happening right now. And so when God answers us, and when he does something in his timing, we can wait on him in knowing that we don't have it all figured out, but he does. And so we can have patience, right? And we can have joy and hope, as we talked about yesterday. And so, but we can have faith and know that when we follow him and seek him in faith, that he's going to lead us in the way that we should go. We talked about direction, right? When we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is going to direct us. When we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength. He's going to make, you know, what seems to be an impossible journey possible. He's going to sustain us on our journey. He's going to provide for us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. And you know what? Thank the Lord that we don't have to have it all figured out, right? Thank the Lord that we don't have to know everything. All God asks of us is for our obedience. He asks us to seek him and follow him in steps of obedience, and he will handle the rest. Verse 31 says this, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. This comes right after he says our strength is going to be renewed. You know, I actually read a lot about eagles' wings because I thought, why use that analogy, right? Why talk about eagles' wings? And eagles' wings, they're very, very powerful, and they have a lot of purposes. If we could talk about the renewal part of this all day long, we're not going to go into that, but if you want to read a little bit about the renewal of eagles' wings, they get new wings all the time. Complete new sets every year, right? So they're renewed. But eagles' wings are not just used to allow them to soar around up in the sky, but eagles' wings, they regulate their body temperature, and they shift to control the way that they fly. And there are so many interesting facts about the creative design of the eagle, and specifically their wings. But one thing that I found especially interesting is that eagles are the only bird that have the ability to fly above a storm. Right? They can go so high that they fly above a storm. Now, does that mean they don't experience the storm? No. Right? Does that mean that the storm ceases to exist because they have the ability to fly above it? No. They still experience it. They still see it. In fact, there are times that they still fly through it. They will still experience the damage that comes from the storm, right? But God allows them to fly above the storm. And so God is saying, hey, I'm going to restore you, and then you're going to mount up on wings like eagles. Wings like eagles that are strong, that are able to withstand all of the elements and to fly above the storm. You know, there are going to be times when we put our faith and trust in Jesus that we have to fly through the storm and that we have to experience in that way. But there are going to be times that God allows us to fly above it and to be able to still see what's happening, to still experience it. We'll still, you know, the aftermath of it will still be very real in our life, but he gives us the ability to fly above it. And he does this because we have surrendered ourselves to him and to his will and to his leading. Finally, this verse says, we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. Well, when I was a teenager, I ran track, and I was not very good at it. But I liked it, All right, so I wasn't very good at it, but I liked it. And they always made me run the 3,200. Do you know what that is? It's 8 times around the track. It's so boring. And also, if we've met, I'm not real good at being bored. And so, you know, you're running around the track and you're like, this is so boring. I'm not doing very good at this. I'm like the last one. And when is this going to be over? Sometimes you might lose track of what lap you're on, you know. And so about lap 5, I would be so tired. And I would be like, I cannot do this anymore. I don't want to do this. But I also had my dad on the sideline. And if I would have stopped, that would have been way worse than, you know, than just finishing in the agony, right? And so I would just kept going around about lap 5, you know, I wanted to give up. And then you would come to the last 200 meters of the 8th lap. And so you get to the last 200 meters, and I'd be like, I've got to be done with this. And you hear the people cheering, and you know what? You just want to give it your all. And so you take it all the way to the end. You go as fast as you can. And, you know, that last little bit of energy that I had gave me the ability to sprint to the finish line. But guess what? I was faint. I was weary. I was sick of it. I didn't have anything left. You know, this scripture is so encouraging because with God, we can run and not grow weary. We might be on lap 5 and we might be just like, I am done with this. I cannot do this anymore. I cannot go any further. But our Father, He's on the sideline and He's cheering for us, and we can know that it is not going to be good if we quit, right? It is not going to be good if we don't just finish. And we can know, just like, you know, my dad would always be waiting for me right down there at the end and be like, you know what? You did a great job. You finished. I did not do a great job. But you did a great job. You finished. You kept going. And God, He is such a great encourager to know that, you know what, when we're flying above the storm or we're flying through the storm or things are really difficult, that He is right there waiting and cheering us on and helping us to not be faint and to not grow weary. And when we don't have anything left, He can run for us, right? No matter how repetitive it is or crazy it is, we can keep running. And God, He just keeps filling us up. He keeps helping us. We can walk the path He has laid out for us and not grow faint because He keeps us going. He keeps us going. He fills us up. It's His fire sustaining us. Some members of the church, the reason that we're praying, the reason that we're praying so fervently right now in the Church of the Nazarene, and we're praying so intentionally, is because some members, maybe even ourselves, are in need of renewal, right? We are in need of renewal because maybe we've become complacent. We have allowed the obligation, or maybe the form of personal entertainment, to take the place of true discipleship. You know, maybe some of you, maybe I've been guilty of it. Maybe people in our churches, the church in America, the United States, the Church of Canada, they've allowed themselves to come to church week after week, right, and sit in the pew and to be faithful Christians. They are faithful to prayer. They're faithful to read their Bible. They're faithful to tithe. But these prayers, the scripture reading, this tithe giving, it's become obligatory, right? They're only doing it because this is what we do. This is what we're supposed to do as a follower of Jesus. This is a dangerous place to be. This is a dangerous place to be, and this is not what Christ intended for His bride. Christ never intended for His bride to be a place where people just sat to be fed. He intended for us to come to this place to, yes, be fed, to, yes, be encouraged by one another as a community, but then to be sent people in the world, making disciples who make disciples. We cannot be okay with just doing it good enough. We can't be okay with becoming so busy of doing good things and lighting our own fire. Because when we do this, when we light our own fire, we will be burnt out. And the church is in need of renewal. God gives power to the powerless. God renews our strength, but He also desires our surrender. He can't do all those things and pour all those things into us if we have stuff in the way. He desires us to surrender our entire being to Him so that we can be willing vessels ready to be used by Him for His purposes. He's going to renew us. He's going to restore us, right? When we come and say, you know what, God, have all of me. Maybe I haven't been doing it right, you know? Maybe I've missed the point. Maybe I've been coming here and doing these things out of an obligation, and I didn't even realize it, right? I didn't even know I was doing that. But if I'm doing it, God, forgive me, right? Forgive me of that, and now have all of me. right? You can have all of me. You light my fire, right? We come to God in this way. When we do that, you better watch out. You better watch out because some exciting and awesome things are going to begin to happen. We will begin to see people come to Jesus the way they did in the New Testament. We will begin to see the church grow, and not the physical building of the church, although that may happen, right? Not the physical building of the church, but the kingdom of God will begin to grow because of the faithfulness of believers saying, "Have all of me, light my fire. I want to be the bride of Christ the way that you intended me to be. I want to be a functioning member of the body, and I want to serve as an outflow of the Holy Spirit dwelling in my life. God, have all of me." And so that is what we are praying when we pray for renewal. We're not just praying that, "God, help me not to be frustrated. God, help me not to be sad. God, help me not to be disenchanted with the establishment." No, "God, renew me. Make me who you have called me to be. Make me who you have called me to be, and then begin to use me." You know, some cool things are going to happen when we do that. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been seeing awesome things happen. When people begin to pray intentional prayers, and when people surrender their lives fully to the service of the Holy Spirit, you better watch out, because awesome things are going to happen. And we're going to begin to see disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and the church will grow by leaps and bounds. The church, capital C, the church in the world, will grow by leaps and bounds. And guess what? I don't care where it begins to grow. It's in homes, right? It's in coffee shops. It's in grocery stores. It's in church buildings. We will begin to see the church grow. It will happen in schools. Because of our obedience, it will begin to happen. And we will see amazing things. We'll see God begin to do amazing things. So this morning, again, we're going to come to the table with one another. We're going to take communion, and music is going to play. And I want you to spend a little bit of time in quiet, right? I want you to ask God to renew you, or say, "Hey, God, do I need renewed? Am I guilty of this? Am I a person that has been, you know, serving you out of obligation and I wasn't even aware of it? Reveal it to me. Reveal it to me and renew me and help me to begin to live into the kind of person that you would have me to be." And so that music is going to play. And then when you're ready to come forward and take the elements, as you take the body of Christ this morning, be reminded that God gave his only son that you might have everlasting life. And be thankful. And as you take of the blood this morning, be reminded that the blood of Jesus didn't cover your sins, right? Didn't just cover your sins. It washed them away. They are no more. And the old has gone and the new has come. And in Christ, we are a new creation. And we cannot do anything in our own strength, but know that with God, all things are possible. And when God lights your fire, you will be able to run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. You will be renewed, and we're going to see some amazing things. So the music's going to play, and I'll just ask that you spend some time in prayer, and then you'll come forward and take the elements, and then we'll close together in prayer. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we just thank you for another wonderful time spent with you, a time where we can come together as one body and just lift you up to worship and to praise you and to hear from you. God, I ask this morning that you would continue to speak to each person that was here, that you would speak to the people who have been watching online, that you would begin to renew us, that you would be to speak to our hearts, and that we would begin to live obediently, that we would walk in obedience, and that we would begin to see something new happen in the church. I ask that you be with each person here and those that are not. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.